Hi, this is Mac of Mac's List. Find Your Dream Job is presented by Mac's List, an online community where you can find free resources for your job search, plus online courses and books that help you advance your career. My latest book is called Land Your Dream Job Anywhere. It's a reference guide for your career that covers all aspects of the job search, including expert advice in every chapter. You can get the first chapter for free by visiting maxlist.org/anywhere. This is Find Your Dream Job, the podcast that helps you get hired, have the career you want, and make a difference in life. I'm Mac Pritchard, your host and publisher of Mac's List. I'm joined by my co-hosts, Leila O'Hara and Jessica Black from the Mac's List team. This week, we're talking about how to make your resume attractive to recruiters. We're recording this episode in 2018, when the national unemployment rate in the United States has reached record lows. But even today, employers receive several dozen resumes for many job openings. Our guest expert this week is Taranum Khan. She says you can make your resume stand out in a stack of applications. Taranum and I talk later in the show about how to do this. Many of us set unrealistic expectations for ourselves, and that can hurt a job search. Leila has found a list of 8 common unrealistic expectations that smart job seekers ignore. She tells us more in a moment. Does this ever happen to you? You upload your resume as part of an online job application. Then you enter content in your resume into the application's work history fields. Why do employers do this? That's our question of the week. It comes from listener Terry Williamson in Eugene, Oregon. Jessica shares her advice shortly. As always, let's check in with the Mac's List team. Every week, Leila, you're out there poking around the internet, looking through those nooks and crannies for the tools, books, and websites our listeners can use in a job search. What have you uncovered for our listeners this week, Leila?
Yeah, so this week I wanted to share an article that I found about expectations. Expectations can help you frame your perspective for a situation. Let's say you're sitting in a coffee shop before you are meeting with a hiring manager for an interview. If you give yourself a little pep talk and have positive expectations that the interview is going to go well, that can give you an added boost of confidence. On the other hand, if you have unrealistic or incorrect expectations, they can lead to disappointment, failure, or change the outcome of a situation. The Ladders shared 8 unrealistic expectations that smart people ignore. Many of these expectations are ones I've personally encountered in my job search. If you're not careful, these are tricky mental traps that can hamper your success. I wanted to share 3 of my favorites from the article that I think are especially relevant for job seekers. The first is the impression that opportunities are going to fall into my lap. If you have a huge network, a great resume, or an incredible cover letter, you may fall into the trap of thinking that your dream job is just going to appear magically before you. But the reality is, just because you're deserving of great opportunities, that doesn't mean they're automatically going to come your way. You have to go out and make it happen. The second is an expectation that I think every perfectionist will recognize, which is the expectation that everyone should like me. If you're a people pleaser like me, you may want every hiring manager you meet to like everything about you. But this can be your own downfall, because you end up feeling hurt when in reality you can't win everyone over. Instead of letting this hurt your confidence, turn your doubts and criticisms into an opportunity to focus on gaining everyone's respect and trust. The third one is crucial for every job seeker to either ignore or overcome, which is the expectation that I'm going to fail. If you go into every job interview expecting to fail, you're more likely to create the outcome that you're most afraid of. Success and failure go hand in hand, but it's key to give yourself confidence and believe that you're going to succeed no matter what, regardless of your fears or doubts. That can be the difference at the end of the day between an awkward interview or an email that says you're hired. Yeah.
It's a good list.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. I thought those were all really insightful.
Yeah. Well, what are your thoughts, Jessica?
I think that's a really good list to just keep things in perspective of what to expect, because those three that you shared were really important of not being able to have everyone like you, and things don't just come magically out of the sky, and things like that. Because I definitely know that that has been a case in my own personal experience as well, and probably a lot of others.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious, within the article, if you had any takeaways of what they offered as, did they offer much in the way of solutions?
It's more just
kind
of
keeping it in perspective
and
good.
Just having some, because I think a lot of times what I do, and I think a lot of job seekers may do, is you kind of fall into these mental traps and you just like think, oh, like this is the way it is. But you kind of have to keep an open mind and, mm-hmm. you know, just not be limited to one perspective, because that can really be your downfall.
No, I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too. And I'll fess up. I've done all three of these things, and I haven't looked at the whole list of eight, but I bet I've done all of them as well. I remember in particular, about 15 years into my career, I had an interview for a position with a foundation, and there was part of the selection panel was a U.S. senator, and I thought I was just not going to have a chance, and I talked myself out of going into the interview because I thought I was going to fail. And so I remember how surprised the hiring manager was when I called to withdraw. But at the time, I thought, oh, I just can't afford another setback. And now in hindsight, I can see that I should have gone. And it's all every interview process is competitive. But if you do the preparation, and you never know where lightning is going to strike. So that was the door that I didn't open. And in hindsight, I regret. And I didn't open it because of this misleading expectation that I shouldn't have paid attention to.
Yeah, that's a great insight.
Okay. Well, great. Well, I know we'll include a link to that article in the show notes. And if you've got a suggestion for Leela, please write her. Her address is leela@maxlist.org. Now, Jessica, it's your turn. You're up. Reach into that mailbag.
Yeah.
We're going to have to add a sound effect someday, aren't we?
Ooh, we should do that. That'd be fun.
All right. So what do you hear from our listeners this week?
We have a question from Terry Williamson from Eugene, Oregon, and he says, here's my job search pet peeve. When you're applying for a job online and they ask you to upload a resume, but then they also ask you to re-enter all of the information from the resume into a separate work history field, why do companies do this? And the short answer of this, Terry, is an applicant tracking system. It's really a lot easier for the companies to be able to understand what it is you're offering if you enter it twice. And so there is, I'm sure with those types of systems, they have, they're not going through the actual resume. So that's why they're asking you to put it into separate fields where they can sort of run the keyword searches and kind of scan and make sure that you're the right fit before they even look at your resume. And so it is really annoying. I agree with you. It's frustrating and annoying, but it's going to pay off in the long run because if you take the time to do this well, and by doing this well, I mean matching those keywords, because that really is what they're searching for. So make sure that you put in the specific words from the job description that they've listed into your resume. So making sure you take that extra time to do that, which is also very annoying and very frustrating, especially when you've already sent out a lot of resumes and done a lot of applications. But it is going to pay off in the long run if you do have those skills that are going to transfer and they bring you in for that interview and you can talk about why you are that perfect fit. So again, that's the applicant tracking system is why they're doing that. And that is the way of the future, as we've talked about a lot on this podcast. And so I think you might just have to embrace it. What else would you guys recommend for Terry?
Yeah, I think that was some great advice, Jessica. I know that it's really hard out there for job seekers because, yeah, you're right. It is the way of the future. And a lot of really big corporations rely on this. So maybe if this is something that you're just really not enjoying and you don't really see yourself working for a large corporation, then maybe stick to smaller companies.
Right. Not every organization is going to use that specific kind. But
it is becoming more and more prevalent. And I think that despite how time-consuming and annoying uploading your resume and then re-entering everything can be, it's really important not to rush through that process either, because if you make one tiny little typo or if you just kind of have all these mistakes coming through when you're re-entering that information, that can really hamper your chances.
Yeah, I think your point about keywords here is really crucial, Jessica, because many people may just copy and paste text from their resume into the work history field. But I like your idea, which is pay attention to what matters to the employer, identify the words that matter, and invest the time to do it right. And as you say, Leila, pay attention to the things that are automatic disqualifiers like typos. Because if you do it in a strategic, thoughtful way, you're going to be more competitive than the people who are simply copying and pasting the resume and into the work history.
Right.
It is more work both to do the research and do the copying and the writing, but it could lead to a competitive advantage against the other applicants.
Yeah, that's right.
But it's work. And
it is. We feel for you, but it does really make the difference.
It does. And again, so many people, and I don't think this is the case with our listener, but they just apply everywhere.
Right.
And you really do want to be strategic and thoughtful about where you do apply. And a good application will take you an hour or two at a minimum to do the research and all the work. And so be thoughtful about the places where you do apply and recognize that it's going to take some effort to put together an application. But if you do that and do it well, you'll be doing things that your competitors aren't doing, and that'll give you an advantage.
Yeah. Good luck, Terry.
Yeah.
Let us know how it goes, Terry. And thank you for the question. If you've got a question for Jessica, please send her an email. Her address is jessica@maxlist.org. You can also call the listener line. That's area code 716, Job Talk, or post your question on the MaxList Facebook group. However you do it, if we use your question on the show, rather, we'll send you a copy of Land Your Dream Job Anywhere. And now we'll be back in a moment. When we return, I'll talk with this week's guest expert, Taranum Khan, about how to make your resume attractive to recruiters. Is a simple mistake keeping you from getting job interviews? Your resume is probably the first place an employer sees your name. And what you say about yourself often determines if a hiring manager interviews you. Making just one mistake on your resume can doom even the most qualified candidate. That's why I created my new checklist, Don't Make These 8 Killer Resume Mistakes. In this free download, I show you top resume blunders I see job seekers make. Avoid these 8 killer errors, and you're well on your way to a winning resume. Visit maxlist.org/resume-mistakes to get your free guide today. Don't wait. Create a resume that can get you interviews and job offers. Again, that's maxlist.org/resume-mistakes. Now, let's get back to the show. Now, let's turn to this week's guest expert, Taranum Khan. Taranum Khan is a certified career strategist who helps her clients rediscover the strengths within themselves. She also serves as a regional ambassador for Career Professionals of Canada. And last year, Taranum received a nomination for the Association's Award of Excellence as an outstanding career professional. She joins us today from Ontario in Canada. Taranum, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Mac. It's my pleasure.
Well, it's an honor to have you. Our topic today, as you know, is how to make your resume attractive to recruiters. And just to be clear, when we're focusing on recruiters who are hiring for a particular job, not headhunters, but these are people hiring managers within a company or maybe people who've been charged with finding candidates for a position. What's the first step that you recommend, Taranum, when people are looking at the resume? What can they do to make their resume stand out to hiring managers and recruiters?
Well, it's a great question, Mac. Actually, that is where everything starts. So highly recommended, start with the job posting. It's very important to set realistic expectations. And generally speaking, I tell my clients, look for the 60-40 ratio. So when you pick a job posting, look at the job posting, see what skills and requirements and qualifications have been identified by the recruiter. If you make for 60% of what has been asked, that is the time you want to start preparing your resume for that given job posting. So let the job posting be your guide in terms of, is this a job that I'm interested in? Do I have the required qualifications? Is this something that I have done before and would I care or enjoy doing it in the future? Also look at the logistics. Is it something that is commute worthy? Does it pay enough? And all the parameters will fall in place for you. If that posting makes sense, that is the time that you start working on building a resume around that job posting.
So
that would be my first step.
Yeah, I like that a lot because I think some people, they want to work and it may be urgent that they find a job. So they apply everywhere, don't they? And why isn't that a good strategy, Taryna?
Well, you know, there's an actual term that's used to define people like that. We call them clickers. They will apply left, right, and center. Whatever job comes, they will use a generic resume that they have not taken the time to tailor, and they will start sending that resume out. Honestly, that kind of approach never works because no recruiter is interested in looking at a generic resume. Not only that, most companies now are going towards utilizing ATS, which is the applicant tracking software, to screen resumes that meet the requirements and the skills that are required to do the job. So that approach is very, very redundant because your resume is not going to get picked when it's going to screen itself out from the pool of applicants that are applying. So you need to look at the job posting, look at the keywords, find what matches the needs of the recruiter and what skills you're bringing to the table, tailor it, and then submit.
I've never heard that expression clickers before. That's a new one to me, but it really rings true. I think that's an apt way of describing people who do that. And I want to acknowledge that some people, you know, they're, again, urgent. It's urgent that they find work, but they really do need to use their time strategically, don't they?
Oh, they do. Because if you're not using the time strategically, you are ending up wasting the time that you need to actually save. So doing the research well will help you identify the job that you can actually acquire. You will make the time. So on a given day, if you're looking, it takes around an hour and a half for somebody like me who does resumes day in and day out. So given that scenario, for a generic person, it takes around 3 hours to build a resume off of a job posting and creating a cover letter and including all the words, the phrases, and tailoring it to the requirements and then submitting. So if you do that well, the chances are, if you were to send out, let's say, 7 to 10 applications, you will have at least 3 interview calls. But if you're sending out generic applications, it's not going to get you the results you're looking for.
I also want to touch on a point you made at the beginning, which is when you're looking at a position, if you meet, you said 60% of the qualifications an employer is requiring, you should consider applying if it meets your other needs. And I think that's an important point that you're making because so many people think if they don't have 100% of the applications or qualifications rather, or 90%, it's not worth their effort. Can you talk more about that and why it can be effective if you only have 60 or 70% of the qualifications to go ahead and submit an application?
Sure. So there are certain sections in a job posting. First is the qualifications, then is the must-haves, then is the good to have. And there are certain things that come under the category of transferable skills. So when you are looking at a job posting, first of all, you want to look at the must-haves. Those are the most important. If you do not have the must-haves, there's no point wasting your time. But when it comes to good to have, and, you know, that will add an edge to your application. And sometimes, for an example, if you are a teacher and now the position requires instruction or facilitation, it's a transferable skill that you can take from your teaching role into an instructor or a facilitator's role. So same thing, if you are working in a customer service industry, doing it in person, and you wanted to apply for a call center role, it's still customer service, and you do have the skills. Those are transferable. You can take them into a call center setting. So you have to look for the transferable skills and see how you can make a match between what you have and what you can bring to the table, and how you can convince the recruiter in terms of, okay, you're asking for these prerequisites, not only do I have those, but I can bring more to you. Also, the way you present your information is very important here, Mac. I would like to emphasize, sometimes people have everything that is needed, but the way they present the information is not the way a recruiter wants to see it. And if you have not done a neat job on the resume in terms of how you present it, the chances of your resume making it to the human eye gets reduced. So the way the layout of a resume has to be also is very important here.
Okay. Well, let's step back for a moment. At the beginning, someone has found a position that interests them. They've got 60% or more of the qualifications, and it meets their other requirements in terms of commuting and the like. And so now they've taken that posting, they printed it out, and they're ready to adapt their resume for an application. And as you said earlier, if you're doing it right, for somebody who is not a resume writer, it might take 2.5, even 3 hours. What do they do? They've got the resume, they've got the posting. What happens next, Tarana?
Well, the first thing that you want to do is just get a highlighter or get a marker. So take your job posting, highlight all the keywords, all the must-haves, all the good-to-haves, and the responsibilities that are expected off of you in that job. Then take your resume and see what all matches. So highlight all the things that you have, you are bringing to the table, match them to the qualifications. Once both the things are highlighted, let's say you have not put certain things that you were able to highlight in the job posting, you've not put in the resume. That's the time that you take those keywords and you add it to your resume. Now, some people do ask me, oh, but is it not plagiarizing that I'm just picking up those words and putting them into the resume? You have to be mindful how you put it. You have to tell a story through your resume. Either those words have to be a part of sentence that you're going to write in terms of your responsibilities, or they're going to be a part of the achievement that you write on your resume, or they're going to be a part of the profile that you're going to write. So once you have highlighted from the job posting the keywords, the next step is to incorporate those keywords into the resume to be able to tell a story which will interest the recruiter into having a conversation with you. That would be your next step.
Okay. And before we get there, let's talk about the structure of a resume that you recommend, Taranim. How should people organize their content? Is it a chronological resume? Is it functional? What do you find is most effective with hiring managers?
There are three major types of resumes. One is the chronological, as you mentioned. The other is the functional resume. And then there is a combination resume. So for most cases, the combination works the best because that is the most eye-catching to a recruiter. The chronological will tell a history of the person in a reverse chronological order. The functional resume focuses only on the skills that the person has, which matches the job in hand or the skills that are listed on the job posting. And the combination resume does a good combination of, as the name suggests, of both. Now, also remember, when you're doing a combination resume, the best structure to follow is start with your profile. So I will take a step back here. Start with a header, which has your name, has your contact number, and has your email. If you have a social media profile, let's say on LinkedIn, I would surely incorporate that into the header. Followed by putting the job title that you found on the job posting as the first thing on your resume. Now, again, we have a word that we use for this particular approach. It's called aligning the title. So that shows the recruiter that you have taken the time to research the job posting well. You are picking the job title from there and incorporating it onto your resume. This is followed by your profile. And in the profile, you are telling your story about how you are the best fit for the job. So for an example, career professional, having X amount of experience in handling resumes, facilitation, whatever not. So you build a story, not too long, maybe 5 to 7 lines. Then the next section is your key strengths. Identify 6 to 9 maximum, and these need to be keywords. So for an example, communication skills, negotiation, rapport building, business development. So these are keywords that you will put. Now, this section is followed by, and this is the most important, achievements. Have at least 3 achievements. Not too many, again. We just want it to be a teaser. So 3 achievements listed, which are very close to the kind of role or function that is expected off of you in the job that you're applying for. And when I say this, to give you an example, recognized as a team member 3 months consecutively, met 100% of sales targets consecutively for a year, awarded, acknowledged. These are the keywords that you want to start your statement with.
So these are results that people have produced or have been recognized for.
Yes. So those would be your achievements. Now, this section, just 3 is more than enough. And then followed by your professional experience. And here you are listing in reverse chronology, your previous experience. So your job title, the name of the company, from when to when. And under each of these, if you have had more than one, under each of the title, you will give around 5 and maximum 7 bullet points of the responsibilities you had. And the last part that you want to put on the resume is your education and professional development.
Now, Taryn, what about personal interests and hobbies? Do you recommend
highly recommend that you do not put any of those things. Resumes are evolving by the day. And the standards as of now, and especially if you are a highly qualified professional, the idea is to bring forth the important aspects of what you can do for the employer rather than telling them about what your personal interests are. So focus on what is needed in the job and how can you make the life of your employer easier and more comfortable.
So 2 quick follow-up questions for you, Taranam. Let's talk about presentation and let's talk about length. How important is it to pay attention to format? And this is an age-old question about resumes. I'm sure you get it a lot. 1 pages or 2?
So both is okay. There's no right and wrong answer when it comes to 1 page or 2. Both is acceptable, depending on the amount of experience you're putting forth, depending on the kind of information you need to bring to the table. Now, the only thing that you want to remember is, please don't do 1.5 or 1 1/3. Please don't do that. Either do a 1 full page or do 2 full pages. Always go for normal to moderate settings if you're using a Word document. Do not ever do narrow settings. It does not look good. It has to be very easy on the eye for the recruiter to read. Make sure you're using fonts that most systems would be familiar with or have. So for an example, Calibri, Arial, Arial Nalo, Wardana, these are the fonts that you want to go for. Do not use small fonts just because you want to fit in the information. Always keep it at least a size 11 or 12. That is also very important. So readability is very important. The white space on a resume is also very important. So these are a few things. It should be neat, easy on the eye for the recruiter to read. And it needs to act as an appetizer or a hook for the recruiter to get interested in you rather than giving them all the information. Again, there's another term we use for that. Some people like to take an information dump on. And that is something which recruiters do not appreciate.
Yeah, it's not an encyclopedia, is it? It's really, yeah. You're putting your best foot forward, but less is more here, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, I really appreciate the very tactical advice you're giving about fonts and white space, but I also want to acknowledge where we started, which is you got to have a strategy, know your keywords, and be prepared to invest time in an application. This is not something you just dash off. If you're doing it well, it's going to take you 2 to 3 hours, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I promise you that time pays off. People who take the time to put in energy and effort into preparing a proper resume and doing a good cover letter, they're working smarter. And they will see the results. In fact, not only this, I would say once you have prepared a resume, it's time for you to have another pair of eyes look at it and make sure there's no errors in it. Because it looks very bad if you are sending something that has spelling errors or grammatical mistakes. It does not give a very good impression off of you. So please take the time to have another person look at it and review it before you submit.
Okay. Well, excellent advice, Taranam. Now, tell us what's coming up next for you.
Oh, I am so excited about contributing to an ebook that is coming out this November. And Career Professionals of Canada is going to be publishing that ebook. I'm really, really excited. I just finished the draft and submitted it.
Oh, that's great. Terrific. Well, I know people can learn more about you and your work by visiting your LinkedIn page. We'll include the URL in the show notes, as well as they can find you on Twitter, and your handle is Taranam N. That's an N as in Nancy, Khan. And we'll include your Twitter handle in the show notes as well. Taranam, thanks for being on the program today.
Thank you so much for having me, Mac. It's been a pleasure, and I'd be more than happy if somebody wants to reach me, have questions. It's my pleasure answering them. Thank you so much again for having me here.
You're welcome. Take care, Taranam. We're back in the studio with Jessica and Leela. What were some key points for you two? Leela, you want to kick off?
Yeah, for sure. I thought that she did a great job of explaining how to look at each job listing as a set of questions. So think of it as, are these requirements something that I can do? Do these responsibilities match what I want to be doing? And just kind of going through it as like almost like a checklist of like, is this the right fit for me before you even take the time to craft your resume and make sure that it's appropriate for the job. Just kind of taking a step back and thinking about, is this the right fit for me first? And then I really liked the point she made about just taking your time with every single job application, because it does take a long time. I think when you're out there job hunting, you think, oh, I can get like 20 job applications done in a day, no problem. But realistically, that's not really the best way to do things, because you really want to just craft everything to be very specific for that one job listing. That way your characteristics really shine through. So, yeah.
Yeah, the expression clicker, I know I mentioned that in the conversation. Yeah. That was a first for me, but that rings true.
It does, yeah.
And I know people do that because they're looking for work, but it's you got to use your time wisely.
You do.
Said.
Yeah.
Well, and like we said before, and like you said just now, Leela, it helps you stand out. People can really tell when you are just, you know, sending out those resumes, 20 a day, mm-hmm. kind of a thing, and you're not taking the time to tailor. So I really liked her her really practical advice on how to go about that, and her emphasis on really studying the job descriptions and your own resume and making sure that they match up. And I really liked her emphasis on there was one thing she said about the plagiarism of people saying, isn't this plagiarism? And I think that that was just something really interesting of it easily can be if you just copy and paste.
Her point about keywords. Yeah.
Right. And it easily can be if you just copy and paste directly from the job description. But if you really take the time to pull out the keywords, but then turn it into your own words, that's how you should do it. So,
yeah. Agreed. And I also just want to go back to her point about the numbers game. Sometimes people think, you know, she made the point, well, you might only apply for 7 jobs if you are spending 2 or 3 hours on each application, but you're going to get a much better response rate. You'll probably get interviews for a majority of those positions. And so many people who, again, play that clicker game, they think, well, if I apply for 100, I'll get, you know, 10 callbacks and 5 interviews. And but you're not using your time smartly, as she said.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you both. And thank you, Taranum, for joining us this week. And thank you, our listeners, for downloading today's episode of Find Your Dream Job. Make sure you present yourself in the best possible way when you apply for a position. Create an error-free resume that can get you interviews and job offers. Get my new guide, Don't Make These 8 Killer Resume Mistakes. Go to maxlist.org/resume-mistakes. That's maxlist.org/resume-mistakes. And join us next Wednesday when our special guest will be Carrie Twigg. She'll share her best tips for how to answer the question, tell me about yourself. Until next time, thanks for letting us help you find your dream job.